own your truth.
And what do you mean by that?
Harmonizing your thoughts, feelings, and actions.
I like that. So your greatest power is in your discovery and understanding of self.
That's right.
Finding Happy Podcast will help you understand how your thoughts affect your life.
Thoughts become feelings, and our feelings create a halo around us. Finding Happy Podcast will help you cultivate favorable outcomes and avoid harboring negative energies.
Wow, I like that. Thoughts become feelings, which then become habits that we practice. Finding Happy Podcast will help or give the listener an insight into how what they do is a reflection of their subconscious minds. And it will help you understand how to program your mind to attract what you want consciously.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy Podcast.
Hi, welcome to Finding Happy on Yumi Radio. Thank you for tuning in to Yumi Radio at yumiradio.com or on Live 365 or on any one of our apps, because we're spread across, you know, we're on many platforms. So welcome to Finding Happy. I'm here. I'm Coach Raquel. I'm here with Keith, the entrepreneur. And Keith, what's been happening in your neck of the woods? I'm in Jamaica. You're in New York. I like it.
Well, what's been happening here is your kind of weather. Lots of rain this morning.
I love it. I wish it was raining here. But, I know.
But that's probably the only thing that you're missing. But as far as I'm concerned, pretty busy morning. You know, I had a couple of things that I had to take care of. Took my son to BBS.
Cool.
Vocational Bible school for the summer. It's like a weekend, the kind of thing. So he goes and they do stuff and arts and craft. They make everything more like, more visually engaged, more engaging.
Yeah.
So he likes it. So I didn't really make a couple of phone calls and deal with a couple of companies, but I'm good and I'm ready to go.
Oh, very good. And I've had a productive morning myself. I'm working on my 1 minute transformational series. I will not be really going into details about what it entails, but it will be
coming. Can I please give us a little taste?
It's 1 minute transformational series. We actually have some promo on YumiWatch.com. You can really go on there and you can check it out to see what it's about.
Nice.
It's going to be phenomenal, amazing. It should be out by August, September. That's the plan anyway. But we're going to go with what? You know, this where the spirit leads.
Hey. You know, I can work with that. I can work with that.
So it's going to be very interesting. It'll be on all digital platforms. So it's going to be, just look out for that. We'll give you more updates as we go along. It's going to be amazing. So, yeah.
Okay. So with that said, curiosity here.
Yes.
But with that said, what's on the menu for today?
So we're talking about depression.
Oh.
The big D. Have you ever been affected by depression?
You know, actually, I was. I'm not sure if it was a mild depression or manic depression, but I know it was intense.
Wow.
Intense.
Well, quite a number of persons are affected by it. As a matter of fact, some 16 million Americans a year struggle with depression. And I know that in Jamaica, I think it was last year or the year before, they had a statistic that showed that over 50% of the population was affected by a mental illness, right?
No
and depression,
way.
Of course, depression, of course, was one of the top ones. So, 16 million Americans. It's something that affects people. It's an illness that increasingly afflicts people worldwide, is what Psychology Today is saying, interfering with concentration, motivation, and many other aspects of everyday functioning. So interesting. What was, would you mind sharing your experience? I have had that experience too. I think it's something that affects me still to this day, every now and again.
Wow.
It's
that's pretty. I'd like to hear your story. I remember being about maybe 12, 13, that age, and I was away from my family. Because when Dad migrated to America, my twin brother and my brother that I followed, we stayed back, and about 3-4 years, And at some point, we had no one there except us. And it was pretty intense.
Wow.
I was like a maid in a way. Because like every time, depending on the time of the year with school, we had lost a maid, whether it was to my mother-in-law had issue with the lady or it just didn't work out, but I was stuck now with a lot of workload and washing, cooking, cleaning. I mean, I can do stuff, you know what I'm saying? And
wow.
But the house was known to be haunted too. Haunted house, you know? And, you know,
wow.
We'd have folks come in, pray, and take away stuff that we don't can't even see, you know, and take them inside the house and run them away that we can't see and we can hear, but they're there. I'm like, this is crazy. But having to deal with me being in the home by myself a lot of the times, coming from school, facing an empty house, or everyone leaving the house to go to school, and I was there before I went to my school, was traumatic, you know? And it was just a lot. Not just the workload, but psychologically, what was going on.
What was going on? Who were you staying with, may I ask?
My uncle.
Okay.
My mom's brother. And great people. He was a minister. Mm-hmm. He always traveled. A great man. But I think having 8 boys already in the house and take on 2 more.
Yeah, and then your parents aren't there.
Yeah, that was pretty tough. Pretty tough. So I have some stories here of being really, really depressed and missing my family and like, you know, when it's not like, no, we can do a FaceTime or, you know, we can Skype, you know, we can do a little thing. It was like, let's talk with a letter. And I don't remember writing a letter at all. Maybe one that I wrote, maybe one. I think I might have received one letter. But it wasn't a lot of, I guess they're showing that we were okay. Maybe they did. And for the most part, we were okay. But the part that were unspoken and weren't dealt with, I would say, the elephant in the room, that address.
Right.
And it's pretty intense. That's some very dark days, dark moments. I've happened to actually come to a point where I've made those smaller things, I've turned them around and make it positive. And make it negative, I kind of turn it into a positive. Yes. So I don't have depression now, thank God. I'm a very happy guy. Yeah, I'm cool,
you,
dude.
You know that some people
said
that some people who appear to be happy are some of the people who are actually living in depression, right?
True, yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw a video that
said you're a very happy guy.
Yeah, but it's true because
I'm very happy for that.
Yeah, it's true because I saw a video of a young lady. Powerful story, and she was saying how she struggled with depression, like really bad depression. And she was in youth choir. She was active in church.
Yes.
She had friends, you know. And I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
And unless she probably said it, no one would know.
Yeah,
so that's a very valid point.
Yeah, because you see, it's a mental health thing. It's something that is internal. So it's not always showing, but just for the purpose of the listeners, some of the signs, as it says, not, and this again comes from psychologytoday.com, not everyone who's depressed experiences every symptom. Some people experience a few symptoms, some many. Severity of symptoms varies among individuals and also varies over time. Depression often involves persistent, sad, anxious, or empty mood, feelings of hopelessness or pessimism, and feeling of guilt, worthlessness, or helplessness. It can also involve loss of interest or pleasure in hobbies and activities that were once enjoyed, including sex. Decreased energy, fatigue, or a sense of being slowed down are also common, as are restless, irritability, and difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions. Many with depression have thoughts of death or suicide. People with depression may experience disruptions in sleep, for example, insomnia, and in eating behavior, for example, like appetite changes, weight loss, or gain. For me, I remember in college, I used to have terrible insomnia. I mean, just terrible insomnia. I was so sad. At the time, I didn't even think they were related or anything like that they correlated.
So did you think When you were sad, did you think it was this, like whether it was like the workload or we didn't have any friends? Could you identify what you thought it was?
All right. I didn't really know about or learn about depression until I think I was about, well, it was about 2011. I mm-hmm. really was depressed and knew that I was depressed, but I had a very, back when I was growing up, I mm-hmm. really was a happy-go-lucky kid. In that I was very, I had a very strong mind, and I used to say to myself, it doesn't matter what's going on around me, I'm going to be okay. And so for me, I focused on education, and I was like, I'm going to work at BBC. I'm going to become a singer. That's what I'm
you
going to
do. You said all that?
Yes. And so for me, growing up, for as far back as I can remember when I was a kid, the things that were happening in my life didn't affect me mentally, because I had a resilience, I think, and a mental, I don't know how at that age I was able to, I remember 8 years old, I was like making plans, like, listen, this is what you're going to do. So I used to like teach the tree stumps and the, you know, I was very focused on where I want to go. But this was a very neglectful childhood. My mother left when I was one, my father was around, but now that I'm older and look back at it, I realize he was present in my life, but there was no parents in my life. Like I was doing this on my own, right? Mm. I was just kind of here. And this is just from what I can remember, because my memory is very spotty, so I don't remember everything. So I didn't realize at the time. I remember thinking as a teen, I remember being sad, like not having food, clothes, those things. But I remember a lot of persons would be like pregnant around me, and I remember being clear that that's not going to happen. And I mm-hmm. remember being sure it's not going to happen to me, because I wouldn't want a child to live the life I did. And I too experienced where there are times we used to go to visit our aunt, and that's where we used to be treated like the maids. Well, in my community, we were kind of looked down upon, like, you know, the dirtiest kids, the without a family home, as a matter of fact, they used to say it, you know, they'd be like, man, she's so black and dirty, but when she opens her mouth, she's so smart. Because they used to study dictionary and stuff, yes. Interestingly, it didn't really affect me until now. It's the way, it's now that I cry for the little girl. It is weird, because half my memory I never had anyway. But it's now that I feel, you know, I think about it. I remember when I was in college, I was very sad because I wanted my mother to love me and accept me. But that was a challenge for her. So it never really happened for us. And she has passed since. But it never really happened. And so I started taking courses like Growing the Developing Child. I minored in counseling because I was trying to understand what was happening with her, and also understanding how to cope. Mm. I remember several times I would have teachers who would say, you know, you need to go and get counseling and stuff. I used to get unsettled all the time in school, you know, on my report card. She's very unsettled because I've lived in multiple homes, you know. So during college years, I remember we used to live at this place. We used to board there. And there was a tank on the outside, and it was just open. It didn't have much water unless it rained, but it had a lot of stuff in the bottom. And I remember multiple times going out on that tank and just wanting to jump.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but I wouldn't jump because I didn't jump because I felt it was too big of a risk.
Don't jump.
Hear it. I felt if I jumped and I didn't die, my suffering is going to be worse. That's the only reason I didn't.
That's interesting. Wow. So let me just kind of interject quickly, if you mind. Now you mentioned about taking up some courses, also counseling, the kind of thing
trying to get done.
Now, have you thought about, or were you aware of something called hypnosis that you could actually go deeper? Because you missed
I tried
body
in 2017.
And how did that go? How did that?
Okay, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Because I remember when I went in, initially when I went in to see this professional, I really just wanted to talk because I was feeling very heavy, you know, and I was beginning to feel very lacking energy, lacking motivation, and I was wondering what is wrong with me. And then I constantly battle with isolation. Like I always feel myself retreating into isolation, right?
Okay.
And the only reason I'm sharing my story is that I hope it will help somebody else. And yes. One of the reasons I'm sharing this story too is that I have found that I'm realizing that it's very, very challenging for someone to rise from poverty to victory, not just because of the journey and what it takes, but I think as you try to move from one stage to the next, your past can somehow become overlooked and forgotten, you know? Sure. And it's like you're just seen as somebody who's doing something without any respect or credit given to where you're coming from, what you've gone through, and the understanding that you're not there yet, you know? So I'm sharing this conversation with the hope that whoever is listening, if you've gone through what I've gone through or is going through what I'm going through, or you're dealing with someone who might have gone through these things, to be mindful of who they are, what they've gone through, and understanding sometimes that they're not there yet, where they're trying to get to yet.
Mm.
Because life's pressures come whether or not you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did try to get therapy. But when I went, I never got a chance to talk. And I remember, you know, she kind of put me to close my eyes and I was going down a step. I remember asking for the notes. I never really got it. And the reason I did, one of the reasons I did this is because I started writing my own story and I wanted to see if I wanted to go back into my memory because I didn't really have much memory. And
and
I only had like 3 memories at the time when I did it because the therapist was the one talking. And not me. And the session kind of ended up in me listening to her.
So, that's interesting.
Yes, so that was what happened. And what I did when I've gone through some terrible times, some really painful dark times. I remember once there was a grave in the yard where I was staying. And I would go to the grave and hug the grave and beg the grave to hug me back.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Wow.
I was just so sad, you know?
What age was that? At what age?
I was in high school. That was between
13, 14?
Maybe about 16 or so. I was a teen.
Oh, young teen. Yeah. My goodness.
Oh, yes. And I remember at one point in time, my best friend was a skeleton of a bird. No, it was weird, I'm telling you. It was this bird that I found in this empty house. I used to like to just go away and walk away and talk to the air and talk to the trees. And because, again, I didn't have family. And I think a lot of person didn't really understand me. And then I think, now that I look back at it, I think I was struggling with, here I am trying to go to school, trying to do better. But then it's like people would think, I got the impression that like persons expected me to function as though I was independent and everything was great, but mm-hmm. I was just trying to get there. I wasn't there yet, you know? Mm. But I remember in 2011, I'm back to the tank. So instead of jumping, I started writing.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing poems, right? Had a book of poems, just dark poems. I remember in 2011 now, that was when mm-hmm. I was depressed. I knew it.
Wow.
I was running my own company because I was always someone who was always doing something. I'm never unemployed, as in not doing something. If I don't have a job, I want to create one.
Always actively involving.
Yes, because I'm the kind of person who, if I'm not active, and I think I'm realizing it no more than anything, once I'm active and I'm doing stuff and I have this this rush of energy, I get things done. But if I become unproductive, it becomes lethal for me.
But it's interesting because as you look at depression, yeah, a lot of people are demotivated, unmotivated.
Yes.
They are always sleeping. You know what I mean? Which is so much.
Not everyone goes through the same thing.
Right. But I was, you know, that's interesting at it.
Right. Yeah. Right. And there was a part on here was talking about bipolar, right? So it says, in addition, depressive episodes are features of bipolar disorder.
With extreme.
Right. So I've never been tested or anything, but sometimes I do wonder if I have some, you know, trace of bipolar, because I can go very high or very low. Like when I'm driven, I'm driven, you know? But I think, so in 2011, for 1 year, I was so depressed that I was in a relationship that I wanted to come out of, but I felt like I felt trapped. And that has always been a thing, because even when I was on the tank, my thing was then again feeling trapped in my life. And I remember writing a poem called Trapped in My Life. Just feeling like you're stuck in this nucleus, this thing that you just somehow, no matter, you're trying to get
out of. It's like a cocoon.
Yeah, but it's like you can't get out of it, you know? Until I started traveling, I didn't realize that it was traveling that really helped me realize that, okay, they're different. It's okay to think different. You can do different things. And so what I try to do is I try to travel. I try to get out of my world. I watch a lot of movies. Okay. I watch a lot of documentaries so I can connect with other worlds, other parts of the world, other cultures, and understand what other persons are going through. In 2011, I got so depressed that I remember for that year, I ate, I slept, I worked in my sofa. And I remember the day when I was moving, I said to the person who was helping with the moving, he said to me, are you taking this sofa, this, I think he called it like a couch too. I had this L-shaped leather, kind of leather material sofa. And he's like, you're taking this couch too? And I'm like, yeah, I'm taking everything. And he's like, you're sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm taking everything. And he said, I think you should come look at it, because it's not good. It has a hole in the middle. And I'm like, no, that's my couch. You know, it's my favorite. I'm always there. And he's like, yeah, there's a hole. And I'm telling you, Keith, I've never been so shocked. I went in and there was a hole in the middle of the sofa.
Which you never realized.
I did not realize it, which means that I was sitting on the floor the whole time.
Oh my goodness.
And the rest of the sofa is high, you know. But there was a hole in it. And I remember I did this documentary of Our Own Knocked Abroad with Kerry and Toms. And I have to, I'm so thankful.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Hearing that powerful, powerful story.
And I remember she started sending me different clips, different information about Dr. Wayne Dyer. And she's like, God, Raquel, I think you're depressed. And she used to send me this. And she's like, read up on this and read up on that. And then I started doing yoga and I started listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer and stuff. And then I would just go into online or into the directory, just search for a minister or something, and just call up someone and ask them, please pray for me. And that was when I get out of it. What I had to do was, I said, okay, if I'm feeling this way, then other persons may be feeling this way. And since I couldn't find the kind of support I needed, let me start something that could create this kind of support. So that's how my foundation, Go Inspire Jamaica, was started. It really started as an outreach program. It was online. And that's how I learned to build websites, to create design websites. I would create this website that persons could connect with if you need to speak with somebody and you want your anonymity. You just text in or call us on Skype or whatever method, and you just have someone to talk to. And then it evolved from there. Since that time, I've experienced sadness, but I don't think I experienced depression again until recently. I traveled to the US, as you know. I was hanging out with you guys. And I saw what I've been needing all my life. Never got, but I didn't really see what the manifestation of it would really look like. Family.
Wow.
And if I may say, I kind of connected with your mom.
Yeah, you told me.
Yes. And it was, I never expected what came. I absolutely did not expect it.
her being 92, huh?
Yeah, it's but her. It's not even just that. It's there was something about her. There was a genuine, authentic kindness that I hadn't really experienced. A kindness that had no expectations.
Wow.
I didn't feel I needed to be anything around her. And she has dementia, right? Yeah, but I remember one day she hugged me and it was so real, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, so this is what it feels like to have a mom. This is what mom means. This must be it.
And I remember you saying one time that you never really was drawn to older.
No. I stay away from older women.
Yeah,
I'm completely.
I remember you saying that to me one time.
Yes.
Okay, that's
interesting. I stay away because my experience with them my experiences with them haven't been nice and kind, you know, and so I stayed away from that. So it's really the first woman of her age that I've been around and been that close to.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, because I don't do it. But when I saw how you guys interacted and how you support each other, I realized what I've always wanted, but just always coming up short. And I think, oh man, I don't want to get emotional, but it's, you know, it's things like that happens, and it happens to people. And I think what happens is sometimes it happens to the people around us and we miss it.
Yeah.
We miss it. So it's little things like those where we're having the conversation today. And because my heart bleeds for anyone who goes through depression, because Keith is not a nice feeling. Mm. And I think one of my shock growing up, and I know I'm still not through yet. I'm not talking as someone who has overcome depression. I'm talking as someone who is learning to, who has learned to live with depression. I think what happens is, well, I know what happened for me, and maybe poverty is a wicked thing.
Yes.
It's a wicked, wicked thing. And I think what's worse than poverty is trying to overcome it and in trying to overcome it, the challenges you have to go through, the continuous fight, the continuous drive that you have gets lost in translation. Where, because I think for me, and this is my interpretation of what is happening with what happened to me, is when I was younger, it didn't bother me because I said, I'm going to get an education. That's the way to get it. You know, you go to school and you get an education. You get an education and you have good manners and you'll be good, right? And so for me, that was my hope.
That's so interesting.
Yes. And then I did get an education. I got to
you
the
sure did. Good one,
yeah. I bought my own home. Mm-hmm. And I had my job. I started my own company and everything. And I feel like it was just all taken from me, you know? And I feel like my entire childhood was a lie.
Wow.
Yes. Because there I was thinking, okay, I'm going to be good. I was the ugliest child in the neighborhood. I was the dirtiest. The only compliment I got was that she's very bright. I passed every quiz you put me in. I was in every quiz. I was in everything, okay? Because my thing was, okay, I am poor. My parents are who they are, but I'm going to excel because that's my ticket out of here. Mm. I'm so misunderstood. You know, I was so not misunderstood. I was so wrong And so what happened to me is when I worked my butt off, I was honest and everything, and then reality hit me that this world isn't, the world isn't perfect, and the world isn't on one plane, and the world isn't set up in a way that it's not a respect of persons. It doesn't care about your past, you know? And so when I found myself and in a position where those who were wealthier manipulated me, lied on me, sent my life into a tailspin, and I lost everything. Even at the time, it didn't really hit me because I kept moving, I kept working, and I kept losing. I kept losing. And eventually, you know, I learned, because I did coaching, again, trying to help myself. That's how I ended up doing coaching, because I couldn't afford. I felt like I wasn't getting the help I needed to when I reached out for help. So I started saying, okay, Raquel, like, you need to go find yourself help. So I started doing coaching. I started studying it. I started reading more and more. And I started, and then I became a certified coach. You know?
Wow.
And I realized that a lot of patterns in my life was based on the decisions and the choices I was making because I was driven by my poverty. You see, when you're trying, when you're driven by your poverty, you attract more of it. You know, you attract more of it. And so what was happening to me is that even in the people that were surrounding me, again, they were still seeing my accomplishments. They were still seeing where I was. I don't think people were really recognizing and identifying that this is a person who is still trying to overcome these things. And so I remember taking things like student loan and just different things. And I felt as though they treated you like, I remember back in 2016, one of them told me I should become a prostitute. You know,
oh my goodness.
There was no respect of where you were coming from to give you some time, to give you some space, to give you some support. I find that, and I guess that's the result of maybe a third world country, because we're in a third world country, a developing country, where the resources aren't necessarily there to help the underdogs, you know? And so I think what, and this is just my thought, but I think what has happened is people, everybody was focused on, she's achieving, she's brilliant, she can do this and she can do that. And then the heart of me just gets lost.
Oh, amazing.
The past, the struggles, the trials, the challenges, the fight to save myself gets lost in the middle of it, you know? And I think also what affected me this year is I fell in love with someone. And we weren't at the same place at the same time. And I think what I started doing was internalizing that feeling like, okay, so in business, every time I think I'll reach there, the goalpost is moved. And in personal life, I still can't get there. What is it going to do? Who do I need to be to attract love? Who do I need to be to attract family? Like, am I not good enough for it? Why am I never chosen? And this is, as I'm being very real. And again, I'm being real because if there's one person listening.
Yeah.
And so for a couple of weeks, more than a month, I couldn't get out of bed. I wasn't eating. If you saw my home, you'd be so shocked. I mean, the roaches took over my kitchen. The place was just a complete mess. It was just a, I'm talking just a couple months ago.
Wow.
Yes, I wasn't eating. I wasn't doing anything. I was just bawling, bawling, bawling. I couldn't stop crying. I would just be crying, crying, crying. I found myself apologizing. Like, God, whatever decision I took that was wrong, I'm sorry. Whoever I hurt, I am sorry. Whatever it was, I was just so low. I felt so broken.
So as I'm hearing you talk about the pain, which is real.
He was,
So we see how critical it is.
It is.
Reach out, because the people who really look fine. I mean, everything about him is fine. And so therefore, I'm sure people around you probably didn't even notice.
They didn't know.
What you were going to do.
They didn't know.
But that's amazing.
Yeah, they didn't know because, you see, how do I explain it? And if you're listening to this and you're in where I was in, write, talk, record yourself. If you find you can't reach out to someone, write about it, pray about it. That's what I think has helped me. I write, I start writing. The funny things about this time when I was depressed was different in that I couldn't work. I felt like I was going through post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what I felt like I was going through. Everything in my childhood was just hitting me. And then I started saying to myself, Raquel, as a child, you should have cried. You should have let people know that, no, you need to either put me in a foster care system or something. Oh. You know, like I started going through, it's my fault because I've put up this front. So people think I'm okay. And so they treat me like I'm okay. So it's like I'm someone with a broken leg, but they're still expecting me to walk because I stood up.
So as an adult, having that depressive moment, what was the pivotal thing that actually got you out of that? What was the thing that
got me out
of that state? Because it sounded like it was very intense to me.
It was. I don't know that I came out of it, but what happened is I was invited to a church. And I remember being there and this pastor was preaching. And first a lady came down to me and, you know, she hugged me and she said, your dreams and visions are real and they're coming back. They're going to come back. So it's okay, embrace it, you know, and I'm paraphrasing. That's pretty much what she said. It's okay, they're real. And I remember the pastor came down with both hands open and he took mine because in my mind I was like, I'm sure he's going to somebody else because listen, he's not coming to me. And then he stopped at me. My nose is scratching me. He stopped at me and he said something to me that I think I took solace in. He said, no more weeping. God hears no more weeping. Yes. He said, no more weeping. Get walk into the next, like he said, the next phase of your life or something to that effect. Okay, you know, things gonna get better, blah, blah, blah. I should go into it. It's okay. I should, you know, go take the next steps into whatever opportunity is there. Don't be afraid. I should just go ahead. And you know, but when he said to me, no more weeping, because I know I'd been crying so much, I felt like, it's not even what he said so much, I felt like, oh, God heard me. Maybe he heard me.
Yes, there was connection there.
Yeah. So I felt like, okay, so he is hearing me. So maybe he has forgiven me, you know, and maybe my life can change.
Wow.
It hasn't yet. But it's something I'm living with and I'm coping with and I'm dealing with. What I'm trying not to do is to retreat further because I have the compelling feeling to go into isolation and cut everybody off, you know, because I feel like it's almost like, okay, so if you're not loving me as I want to be loved, or if I feel like this affiliation isn't working in my best interest, then I should just cut it off and just go into isolation. Then just go be by myself. So I think the struggle for me now is not to go into isolation. I'm trying hard not to go into further isolation. Because I kind of feel like, and I haven't spoken about the things that happened because I wrote about it, but I'm just waiting because it's still ongoing.
Yes.
But, I will at some point in time share my story and what happened, but it is something that you don't just get past when your entire life. I'm an outdoor person.
Yes.
I was always a loner, but I'm very outdoor. Like every morning I used to like to go out to the ocean and pray there. I like walking into nature, pray there and stuff. And then my security, I felt like my security was taken from me to a degree. And so it really, really affected me And okay. So I'm really just coping with it and stuff. But what I find for me is that it is very important for me to ensure that whatever affiliations I have, whatever I'm participating in, if it's not something that I'm happy in being, and if it's not something that makes me thrive, then I know that I quickly need to remove myself from there and go find other mm-hmm. productive spaces. Because what helps me in my depression is productivity, being mm-hmm. productive. Once I'm doing something and I'm being productive, I am better.
You're in your element.
Yeah, I have to feel like I'm growing. It's being productive. I am achieving something being here. If I'm a part of something that I feel like isn't moving, isn't going anywhere, I feel like people will say things, but for me, I feel like I look at it with a microscope when you say it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. for example, if somebody would say to me, you know, I love you, we're family. I've heard it said so many times that when you say it, I now start saying, okay, let's first see how you relate to me. And if I don't see what I think a family should be, or to the degree mm-hmm. I think a family should be, then it's almost like I'm like, okay, that one isn't real. Put it down, move on. You know what I mean? So that is kind of how I cope. So it's important for us to understand that everybody's showing up their best. It's one of the, so that's something that since I became a coach, I learned to understand, you know, everyone is showing up their best. And sometimes you may see someone show up and you're like, why would you do such a stupid thing? Or why would you do that? Or why would you do such mm-hmm. a bad thing? Or whatever. People are showing up their best. You just don't know where they are. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you, this overcomer story isn't an easy thing. It's, mm-hmm. If I die tomorrow, know that I died happy.
Mm.
I have grown to appreciate the part in the Bible that says, when someone is born, you should cry. And when they die, you should laugh. You know, also a part of it for me, I started reading the Bible myself after what happened to me and finding out that God is hearing me. I started reading the Bible for myself, which is helping me as well. Doing the radio program and sharing and seeing what I can do to help others. Charity helps me as well. So, but I'm just saying, we need to love more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean love by me saying I love you. I mean being more selfless.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to care more. Don't just say you care. Stop and ask yourself, when I did this to this person that I said I love, was it fair? Was it just? Was it good? Did it empower them? Did it help them?
Mm-hmm.
So I am constantly checking myself
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I don't want to inflict on someone else whatever pains were inflicted on me. But I've been talking for a while now, so I'm going to wrap this up by saying that be mindful of people who grew up in quote-unquote hell. Be mindful of people who had terrible childhoods. Be mindful of mm-hmm. people who've gone through severe poverty. Even if they look like they're wealthy, don't assume they've overcome the challenges. They haven't.
Mm.
They haven't. Yeah. And you know what, Keith? I think sometimes we see the pain, but we choose not to see the pain.
Mm.
You know?
And you know, also too, I think a lot of people do feel helpless and powerless themselves.
Oh, yes. Because I didn't know how to address it.
You know, and it's funny because as I'm hearing you
mm-hmm.
and just kind of following your story, I realize that sometimes the danger that we experience is being alone in a crowded place. That's one of the most dangerous things, because it's like you're seeing this thing around you, but you're not being affected by it in the way you think you should be affected by it.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I think that even this segment here, we should probably have a segment two.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have an expert coming in as well and share, because it's a big topic.
It is, for
it to affect so many people.
So many people, exactly. So it's not just me. It's a lot of people
it's incredible. You know, I mean, I about a year ago, I think I went to funeral. Mm-hmm. Young lady died, killed herself. Just finished high school, mm-hmm. went to college, and just, I mean, smart young lady, brilliant young lady.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was looking at depression this morning before I came on the air, and was looking at some information, and I look at some of the causes of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yours is unique to you, and just your old life upbringing. But there are people now, like for instance, the the perspective on how people look at their self-image.
Yes.
You know, it is so pushed, you know, culture out of look and what is in and what is out in fashion.
Yeah.
And so especially girls.
Yeah.
Big deal.
You know, let me tell you what happened to me the other day. And it came to my mind, is that a voice in my head said to me, say this to this person, but I think I forgot. Or I thought, no, I'm not going to go there. And then I forgot. I don't remember. But I remember the person that I met that I fell in love with would constantly say, talk about pretty girls. Mm. And I didn't feel, it's so funny because I didn't feel inferior or any, like, because I feel like I'm at a place where, for me, there are things that so much has been going on in my life that's so much more than what I look like. And so what I look like really didn't matter to me because I felt like there's so much more at stake right now. I don't have time to think about that.
Wow.
I found myself, I found myself for a brief moment thinking to myself, you know, maybe to physical, why you're not worth it. You're not worthy. Why it's not happening. And that was when I realized to myself, you know, you gotta check that because it's not you. And then I find myself after I was trying to say, oh no, it's not me. I almost put it back on the person. I found myself just one time looking at this person and picking him apart because I felt like he was picking me apart. Not that he did. I'm just saying it was how I felt. And I had to stop myself and say, uh-uh, that's not who you are. A lot of people are in a space where they feel like, I don't look this way, so I'm not good enough. I guess the reason I don't attach it to myself is because if people were skinnier than me feeling that way, and then when I look at how much cosmetic surgery is going on that I'm not willing to, I realize that.
Say it again.
I'm just not willing to do that. So I'm okay. I think, but we have to get to a space because people who speak like that too are people who have issues.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't even know. And then you take on their issues. Not realizing that's the person talking to you.
Yeah, because many people actually would say some things. It's actually,
have inadequacies themselves.
Yeah, it's a self-hate going on.
Yeah,
lack of awareness. Yeah, it is. Really is. And I know we're coming out to the wire on this show.
So we're talking about depression. And for anybody who's affected by it, I pray for you because it's a terrible
thing. Yeah.
I many a times, I remember in 2017, almost every day I got up and was mad at God. Like, I woke up today. How could you wake me up today? Like, how could you wake me up today? You know, and it happened to me a couple of weeks ago when I got up, I'm telling you, my eyes were closed and I realized they were opening them. I was squeezing them shut, like, no, you're not waking up. And when I got up, I was like, my God, how could you? I was like, how could you allow me to wake up? How could you not have just allowed me to sleep away? Because I don't have the strength to take my own life. I don't have that. I couldn't do that, you know? At least I don't think I could. But I'm ready. As I'm sitting here with you right now, if I'm finished talking to you and it happens, I'm good. I'm good with it, you know? Yeah, I'm good with it. I just want to focus. I don't even know if that's depression. I think that is just a matter of this world is very hard and challenging. And it's not as easy as some may make you seem like it is, at least not for me. Look at some of the things that sometimes gets me in a dark place is when I watch certain things and I see that life is better. There are other people who have life better. There are people who get love. There are people who are hugged and caressed and loved and catered to and taken care of. And, you know, and I sit back and I'm like, damn, so what is it I'm doing wrong? You know, what is it that I'm doing wrong that someone isn't sacrificing for me?
Wow.
You know? And I don't know if that's what other people go through, but that certainly is what I go through sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because I think one of my fear is to die the way my father did. He was in a coma for 3 days. He had a stroke and he was knocked out for 3 days, couldn't move or anything. And nobody knew he was there until they found him after he went into a coma, then he died. And I think I kind of see my life sometimes looking like his, just alone. You know, I used to pray that he wouldn't be alone, but just alone. And I think sometimes that scares me, but I'm still not willing just to just go be with somebody for the sake of just and take anything. I found myself the other day, which was, oh my God, this was so frightening for me. It literally shook me that I found myself thinking to myself, did I make a mistake breaking up with Julius? Because he's the only guy who ever really chose and actually gave me a commitment, you know? And I found myself saying, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I should have just taken what he came with and just be satisfied with that, regardless of the fact that he was cheating, regardless of the fact that he treated me with disrespect, regardless of the fact that there was one time when he grabbed me around my neck, both neck, physical violence.
Wow.
I found myself thinking that. And I had to stop and pray about it. Like, no, because I know some persons may say, just wait, your time is coming. But during that wait, days are passing, time is happening, you're living your life. You know what I mean? I'd like to have a child. And the one thing I've always wanted since I was a child is family. A family of my own, you know, but it's not easy when everything you do. The first time I ever didn't have to take care of myself was one when I was ill and I was at your family home. That was the first time I had someone taking care of me. I didn't have to worry about the rent. I didn't have to worry about the food. I didn't have to worry about anything. And as soon as I came around, I became conscious of it because I didn't know want that to. I wanted to keep it as a pure memory, so I didn't even want the family to get tired of me to the point where somebody may do or say something, whether in error or not, or I interpret someone doing something to mess it up. I wanted to preserve it. You know, and there are many people out there like that. Poverty is a real thing.
Yes.
You know, but no matter what, like, I hope it helps someone.
It will, and I like that because I think we're talking recently and you mentioned something about that the radio station. Is a place where we want every voice to come, every word to be heard.
Anyone,
I like that. So yes. Folks, if you're listening out there, hit us up. You know, email.
Yes, and we're talking about depression.
Send your comments in if you need to. Yes. Because any outlet is important.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And if you can't speak to someone, as in a person, because you may feel unsafe or you may feel like they're not hearing, you're not being heard. Talk in the open space.
Yes.
Right. You know, yes. I remember I used to have like a Facebook page and didn't want any friends on it so I could just talk. Because sometimes when people respond, oh, but you're okay. What do you mean? Kind of negative. They don't even understand that this is you fighting. This is you fighting to save yourself by putting it out there.
Wow.
Because silence is a killer. And that's the note I will end it on. Depression kills if you stay in silence. It doesn't have to kill. Speak to somebody. Write it. If you can't speak to someone, speak to the universe. Put it out there somewhere. And prayer works.
Yes. That's a good way to end. It's a great segment.
So thank you.
And, again, Keith Entrepreneur and Coach Raquel.
And Coach Raquel, thank you so much for joining us today.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy Podcast.